Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
For the first time, Twitter and Facebook have taken the extraordinary steps of locking President Trump's accounts. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg said today that President Trump would not be able to post on the platform until at least after Inauguration Day. The 12-hour ban on the president's Twitter account is set to expire today. These changes come after the president's tweets stoked insurrectionists to storm the Capitol. Far-right online platforms also ran rampant in the days before with calls for violence, to smuggle guns into D.C. and even kill if they encountered resistance. Let's bring in Ramesh Srinivasan, a professor of UCLA's Department of Information Studies, to talk about the significance of all of this. Ramesh, thank you and welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, so Twitter and Facebook locked Trump's accounts, at least temporarily. Why do you think they waited so long when he's actually been pushing baseless claims of election fraud for months?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, there was the labeling practice that was, labeling some of Trump's tweets in particular in terms of saying this could be misleading or there are disputing sources to this. But I think that the social media companies, by and large, have been very, very slow to act in decisive ways regarding President Trump's behavior, partly because a huge draw to those platforms themselves are Trump's posts, as well as the kinds of content that Trump and his supporters have been posting on these platforms. So now that we are seeing that the actual content being posted by Trump is having real-life violent consequences, I think far greater steps need to be taken, not merely temporary deplatforming, but also really considering banning President Trump from these platforms.
Yes, because the argument is there any sign that flagging Trump's tweets as disputed as Twitter has done, does that even have any real impact?
There's very little evidence around that. I've yet to see evidence put out by the technology companies or any independent third-party researchers that flagging something is sufficient to actually convince users to not believe what they see. We are presented with a completely opaque, some use the term echo chamber, worldview when we go on these platforms. Many of President Trump's supporters, including, sadly, many of those who rioted and committed what I believe to be domestic terrorism yesterday, were influenced by a complete worldview that they felt was in complete agreement with themselves and actually, if anything, made their worldview more hardened and amplified their views because that was the world they were presented on the technology platform itself. It was a closed view into a so-called wider media world. And we also know that these technology platforms are making more visible content that is more sensational, that is predicted to grab someone's attention. It's something that they call maximizing user engagement. And we know that Trump has seen Twitter in particular, but social media more generally, as his mouthpiece to the people. Mm-hmm. His divide and conquer strategy of disorienting and riling people up and really fragmenting our country and our democracy, as we see right in front of us right now.
Well, Ramesh, let's talk a little bit about some of those other platforms besides Facebook and Twitter. There had been warning signs of what was to come on far-right message boards like Parler. There were calls to bring guns, to storm the Capitol, to kill if needed. What happened in the monitoring of these types of boards? Why did these warning signs go under the radar?
What we're seeing happening is on what one might think of as fringe platforms like Discord or like QAnon or 4chan or even Reddit in the past, there would be this bubbling up of conspiracy theories and very quickly violent discussions about violence and retribution and, you know, taking the country back. And essentially, insurrectionist kinds of rhetoric would emerge on those platforms. And because, again, they are closed box platforms, people see their experiences on those platforms as the reality. And now we see very clear evidence that Parler, in particular, was the birthplace and was dominated by a great amount of discussion about specifically about violence and guns and actually overtaking the Capitol as of yesterday.
But has there been an acknowledgement from Parler or any of these other message boards that you talked about in their hand in inciting this insurrection?
Not at all. And actually, this is an issue across the board because we don't see any sort of liability or actual progressive steps taken by any of the big technology platforms or even these smaller ones to actually take any responsibility for what emerges and goes viral on their platforms. We need to push public third-party governance, accountability, transparency, and I would say even audit of all of these platforms moving forward to ensure that business interests are protected in our country, but not at the cost of everybody else, not at the cost of our democracy, not at the cost of this kind of horrific violence we've witnessed, and not at the cost of our workers and our minorities and those who are marginalized in our country right now.
That was Ramesh Srinivasan, a professor at UCLA's Department of Information Studies. Thank you so much.
It was great to join you, Tanya.